Tonight, with Course in Miracles, we're going to look into, in depth, one of the ways that we... Wait a second. I can fix this. Here we go. Okay, I've just muted everybody so you can get yourself situated and it'll be quiet while we do our intro. So, Course in Miracles is a very helpful spiritual path because it doesn't deny or ignore some of your foibles as an ego, as a human being, as a fragile individual gets scared and then responds out of fear and then makes things worse. Fully aware of this addiction to being afraid, being fragile, and trying to innocently make things better. Unfortunately, the tools that most of us come into Course in Miracles with are not good tools to make things better because they're based on fear. So they're like attack, or they're like you defend yourself. Somebody says something and you come back at them with twice as much energy as they came at you. Now they feel attacked. Things like that. Trying to make things better. So the key word, the key set that we're going to focus on now, just for the first part of this discussion, is how the ego uses a seemingly innocent defense that actually makes things so much worse that A Course in Miracles calls your innocent little defense attack. And so a lot of times, you know, when you're before A Course in Miracles and when you're early into A Course in Miracles, you will be triggered by something in the world. It could be a fear response with money or sickness or coronavirus or what something said to you or your job. These things can trigger you, and then you feel pain in the form of fear right away, and you think you don't have a choice but to follow the fear where it goes. In other words, you feel like you're a victim. Seems so innocent. But it is a sickness of mind to believe these things and then to torture yourself with thoughts of loss that follow immediately. That is actually unnatural. It's natural to the ego, but it's not natural to what you really are. So it is not something you must endure. Other people find a sense of other, even you, right? Other times, I'll say other people, other times. You find a sense of strength in yourself by making a judgment about somebody else. Some politician, somebody who's not wearing a mask, somebody who insists that you do wear a mask. You make a judgment about something costs too much and somebody's ripping you off, et cetera, right? All sorts of judgments. These judgments then seem to justify your fear, your feelings of attack toward those people because they're not being fair or they're not being loving or they don't care enough about you. Maybe you're even attacking yourself because you said the wrong thing or you weren't fair or you think back now and you wish you would have done something different. And you feel guilty. This is a self-attack. They all have in common attack. It's a horrible pattern of mind. But it's amazing how strong in the ego's hands it will make you feel. And how righteous it will make you feel. But clearly, of course, as we learn in A Course in Miracles, what you give is what you receive as soon as you give it. If you feel afraid, you're going to feel, if you say scary things or you say angry things, you immediately are going to experience that yourself. If you say something patient and loving or kind, you will immediately feel that. This is really the essence of our discussion tonight, as it is every night. You not being a victim and discovering the power of your choices and their effects. Your entire ego is one of them. So, the focus on tonight is a very difficult thing. It's ugly. It's just ugly. Attack thoughts are just ugly. They come on so fast and they seem to be making things better, but they don't. Even if you win in the situation, you lose in your peace of mind. Sometimes you lose for the rest of your life, right? Some of those relationships were attack built up and built up. It's a very difficult thing to work with. It's much easier to, we could talk about love and forgiveness, and we could talk about peace and patience and some more sweet things, but you know, that's not where the work needs to be done, right? We have to do the difficult work of the habits that make our lives difficult. And we remove that layer. Attack is one of the quick go-tos. If we could actually remove attack from our lives, the next thing to fall is fear. Attack is like a habit. It's like a quick response that really does more harm than good. But only every single time. So there's a bunch of material I want to cover on this. So tonight, I think we're gonna skip the guided meditation. We'll just have a few moments of silence, but we won't be going, we'll not be doing our usual routine. So let's just take a few moments to settle in and come out of the world and open your mind and make it present for some healing around this very difficult ego fighting, you know, fighting words, loaded of fighting words topic of attack and letting go of attack. Let's just sit for a few moments. What would it be like to never again have an attack thought cross your mind? What would it take for you to know that attack is not needed or justified in any form? What would a difficult conversation look like if somebody was mad at you and you just could not attack back and didn't feel any need or desire to? How would that go differently? What is attack? When you are doing that, what are you doing? Well, I've kind of changed my mind. So if you would take the next minute and find out, what are you doing when you attack somebody? What's going on with your mind? What's the objective?
I'm expressing my belief in the scarcity principle.
And there then after I ring the bell, and then you can answer.
Sorry.
We'll go round robin.
Okay.
Just pick out a word or a phrase to share with the group after I ring the bell and I call on your name. Just a word or a phrase, you know. The reason why is because this will narrow your thoughts so that you can surface, have the Holy Spirit counsel you with a pointed message. What's happening? What's the goal when this energy builds up in you and an attack thought? I didn't even say you have an argument. Maybe you're way too peaceful for that. But there are times in your life when you want to make a change in the outside world. It's an attack. What are you doing? What is the mind doing? What happened? What happened that you now feel the need to attack? Judy, tell us, what's going on with your mind when the attack arises?
Well, I was hampered. I couldn't do this assignment from you because of my assignment from the course.
Really?
So I flunked your assignment because I had to be faithful to lesson 140. And the, how's the actual, my mind holds only what I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're in a whole different gear.
So I kept thinking, okay, so what did I get mad at this week and everything? And I just couldn't go there. So you're going to have to go to someone else.
I think it sounds wonderful. I'm glad you can't answer that today. You've really been doing well with lesson 140. Excellent. Laura, you want to talk to us about attack? What happens with attack? Everybody, this is Laura Jackson. Laura Jackson, this is everybody.
Hi. The word that was coming to mind was separation. There's a separation. There's like a lack of awareness, maybe, but mostly separation.
Yeah. In order to attack, there's got to be, it can't be, you don't have the problem. They have the problem. And they need to hear about it from you. That separate thing out there needs to be corrected. Yeah, separation. Definitely. Timothy, what's happening with attack in your mind? Dr. Day. Maybe he's gone off to...
I had something to say before, but I think I'll take a pass for the moment. But thank you.
Very well. Thank you. Jason, what's going on when the fumes start rolling and the steam starts pouring out of your ears and you feel the need to attack? You'll have to unmute yourself.
I want to be God. I want to be real. I want to be permanent. And no one can mess with God.
Well, one interesting aspect about God is he's always right.
Yeah.
You just want to be right. Perfectly right. No challengers. That's innocent. Let's see how that works tonight with tonight's teaching. Kathy, talk to us. What goes on? Once you're unmuted, you guys are still muted.
We're undone now.
There you go.
Well, what I was going to say was that to think that I'm in the right and they're in the wrong.
Yeah. There's a judgment that has to occur. And once you're empowered by that, you can execute the plan. Mm-hmm. Course has a nifty little phrase that says, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? If that was the choice, it's kind of a good meditation to take. Would you rather be right? And I know you're saying, well, I'm happy when I'm right. I know Jason's working on that one. But what's more important, being right or being happy? It's a good thing to think about. Donna, what happens with you when attack is brewing?
Well, you know, some of it's already been said, but what came to me, of course, was that my behavior was the trying to be right part. But underneath, I'm trying, you know, not to experience loss. I have a fear of loss. And then in the world, I thought, well, that's a little harder if I just start arbitrarily deciding I'm going to judge a political figure or whatever, but it's like, I don't want to lose my way of thinking the way the world should be, like an identity of the world, that it's supposed to be this certain way, and I don't want to lose, I don't want to lose out from that.
That's it. If it wasn't somehow personal to you, you would have no need to go fix it, correct it, attack it. There's a sense of loss, and you want to not lose. No, that's right.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Deborah, talk to us. What happens when attack thoughts come up?
Okay. Not safe. And I feel separate from whatever connection I had before that. And then there's the need to protect. Kind of this fast few steps.
Indeed.
And then I'm lost.
Yeah, I hear the protection and not safe. And so you would need to become strong to protect yourself. You need to somehow give resistance to what's about to happen so it doesn't happen. And you'd pour on this energy into the world that is attack.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so innocent because you're afraid. We don't attack when we're feeling really loving and comfortable, and it's on the other side of that coin. We must attack when we feel unsafe, not cared for, going to lose some more if we don't stand up and do something, say something, feel something, start defending now for what might happen later. This is an attack scenario. How innocent! You just want to be protected. No, good, good, good. That's right. Those are good, very good essential drive behind attack. Very good, very good. Luann, what happens with you when there's attack thoughts come up?
I'm muted.
There you go. Yeah, you're still muted. There you go.
What came up for me was a reactive judgment is what I do.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't sound very personal. So if I tried to make it personal, I would say if I feel like I'm being attacked, then I have to do what Donna or Deborah said. I have to defend myself.
Yes. It's personal. Very good. Mm. How innocent, Luann. Something's happening in your personal life and you're just going to go make it better. That's all. That's very innocent.
I'm going to correct them so that they know they shouldn't do that to me anymore.
How else, if you don't correct them, who will?
Well, that's the problem. No, nobody will.
And then it'll happen again.
Well, if I let myself near them, that's true.
Sure, in the world. But as we're going to look into this a little more deeper, we can make corrections without attack. We can make corrections that are not colored by loss. This is the art of being loving. This is the art of having your Holy Spirit talk you through it instead of your unholy spirit fight your way through it. This is what we must learn with A Course in Miracles. Very good. Excellent.
And the problem is I don't know how to talk my way through it most of the time.
Right. You just have your habits, your old habits of attack and defense.
I get so caught up and don't say anything that I don't have time to listen to the Holy Spirit tell me.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't say anything. That becomes a self-attack because now we're squashing ourselves.
Yep, exactly.
Not standing up. And then we'll attack ourselves later for not speaking up.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Good, good. Miley, what happens when attack thoughts cross your mind?
Okay. Well, the first thing that came to my mind was judgment. And an experience I had in the last day or two, it was subtle, just like one of the things we read last week about if you're not content, you're in fear. That was subtle thing.
Hey, that was some pretty tough message. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what I saw the other day, I was talking to my daughter, and I noticed, I thought she should be doing something a different way. And I caught it. And I went, that's a judgment. And I saw, so that's the word that comes for me with attack thoughts is judgment.
Excellent.
And I saw that was separating me from her. It was very quick, like it was a little flip of a switch. And as soon as I went, well, I don't need to do that. As soon as I let it go, it was replaced immediately with just loving feeling toward her.
Wow. Yeah. See, it's so good to catch judgment now, because when we talk judgment in the Course of Miracles, we're not judging whether you should have vanilla or chocolate ice cream. Well, you should have vanilla because it will stain your clothing less. What? That's not the judgment we're talking about. That's choices, discernment. That is not what we're talking about. Late here.
Okay. Well, you know, and then, we were talking about this a little bit. My quandary is when, because I have a daughter and a daughter-in-law who a little bit go at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when one of them comes to me and wants me to justify their attack thoughts toward the other.
Right. There
and
we go.
I don't know how to navigate that without, you know, if I disagree, I'm sort of putting them down. I mean, how do I bring the truth into that situation?
One has to win and one has to lose, and you would be the arbiter.
Right, and I don't want to play that game.
No.
So then I have to avoid it or just say, I'm not getting into this discussion, or...
You could run. You could run and hide.
This isn't real for me.
You could ignore it, yeah.
I mean, and you said we're going to get into that a little more as we go along today.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in getting into that as we go along today.
Yes. How can we do the kind of corrections that the world requires as you live in your life without attack, without judgment, without fear? Indeed. Yeah, we learn all of this with our Course in Miracles. It's just amazing. But
yeah.
I'll give you a quick couple of words before we move on in case we get too distracted.
Okay.
The art, the key to this kind of communication is joining. Now you have two daughters and they have different points of view, and they're attacking each other. Mom! The key is not for you to make a decision like a Supreme Court judge. The key for you in your relationship is to understand each of them equally. To actually understand, even though you might think, are you kidding me? Why would you want to do that? No, none of this. You don't want to support them. You don't want to deny them. Very key now. Don't support.
So don't say, I agree, but I understand. I hear you.
You want to say, well, tell me more about what you think about, so I can understand why you think a tattoo on your forehead is the right thing to do. I need to know where you're coming from. Even though, you must get there so they can voice. And they say, nobody pays attention to me. You know, whatever it is, you need to get past the surface, because nobody is upset for the reason they think. Early in the lessons, so key. So you to be loving, you to be the bridge between the two of them, the loving bridge, is to raise the understanding. That would be your function there. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Julie, what happens when attack thoughts storm up in your oh-so-innocent, peaceful mind? And thanks for joining us tonight. I know you had something else you were doing.
My mind went to sin as an adjustment which, as I understand it, is that I create a story in my mind. I go to the past, and I have this story, and it affects me now, and that's what's going on. And my recent example, like, my boss is just, like, the best person ever at giving feedback. She can just ask this reflective question. I might have said this before. And she'll just say, like, recently she said to me, oh, so you went from, I was frustrated and rambling all this stuff out and anger about colleagues. And then she goes, oh, so you connected that and that? And instantly all I could do was go, oh, no defense, no. It was just like, yeah. And I said, now that you mention it, those two things are not connected.
Good.
But that's what, for me, that's what happens.
That's good. Yeah. You bet. We will get empowered by these reasoning of the ego. And of course, innocent, so innocent. It's so innocent to put these two things together and draw a conclusion and then act on it. That's so innocent. And there's nothing wrong with it, except you forgot to check and see how it felt before you kept the thought. It probably felt like it was a bit of a judgment or an attack or some kind, some form of separation was brewing away. It's okay to analyze the world. It's not okay to start to feel hate or anger or loss. These are the steps we take into darkness. And it's so innocent to try to make the world better and understand it. But if we're going to heal our minds, we must continue to turn toward the light, especially when it starts to get dark. Very good. Sin is an adjustment. Excellent. Excellent. Yep, yep, yep. That's it. Okay. Who has a phone number that ends in 1362? I think maybe that's Isadora. Whose phone number ends in 1362?
It's Isadora, yeah. Hi.
Hi, Isadora. Tell us what happens when attack fills your mind.
Well, it's really interesting that this is a subject tonight because I've had four different verbal attacks against me this week, and it's been quite a week. Anyway, the first two I managed to sit through, and the third one, which was this morning, I just felt just deeply shocked by, and then by the time the fourth one happened this afternoon, I just wasn't able to handle it at all, and I just had to leave her company. So I don't know what the difference was between the first two and the last two. I expect it was something to do with my own feeling of self-worth at the time. Mm-hmm. But generally what happens with me when I react to somebody else's attack or I want to go into attack, it's because somehow they've tied into my feelings of unworthiness or the I am bad belief. And if I sit down and journal about it, that's almost always what comes up.
Yeah, this is not in A Course in Miracles, but everybody's heard this phrase. You're only upset when somebody says something about you, if you believe it's true.
Right. Even no one can disrespect. Right. Nobody can disrespect you unless you agree with them.
You're buying into it. You think, even though if you think it's not true about yourself, you think when they say it, it makes it true somehow. Do you see how the ego does that?
Yes, exactly. In fact, Wayne Dyer said something like, why are you believing what other people think of you over what you think of you?
Yes. Now we're back to Course in Miracles, because in chapter 27, it describes that you've made this big dream and you've made figures in the dream. You've made yourself as one of the figures in your dream. And now you think the figure in your dream learns from other figures in your dream.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Wow. Oh, that's what's going on. Chapter 27. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, so.
Anyway.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to read this quote because I wrote this down when I was journaling this morning after this morning's upset. Diedrich Wolosack, he's the guy that wrote Chose Again book. He said, anger is nothing more than a sad attempt to create the illusion of power. I chose anger as a response to a belief that I had no power or worth. Yeah. And I really feel like that's true for me.
Very good. Yep, you've been listening to the wrong teacher.
All right.
That's all. That's all. And the wrong teacher has nothing true to say.
Right.
You know, when you get back to your Course in Miracles, you know it starts to teach you what you actually are, despite appearances. You are innocent child of God. You are love. You are not a body. And all the things that could be wrong with a body can't be you.
Right. Right.
It's just amazing, the contrast.
You know, it's just interesting how sometimes, like this morning when she came off at me, I actually felt nauseous because of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just those chemicals get running. And
yes.
I knew I couldn't do anything until those chemicals, you know, calmed down.
That a girl.
I couldn't get anything.
Hey, listen, everybody who hasn't, I think everybody here is probably old enough that you've gone through this routine where you recognize that things happen to you and you feel things. And then the situation changes and you go, oh, I was mistaken, right? Or you did your Course in Miracles. You ripped out the Course in Miracles and you said, oh, my God, I could choose peace instead of this. It says lesson 34. But you still feel rotten. You still feel rotten, even though you said, I was mistaken. Very important to catch the effect of chemicals in this world, in this body, in time and space. You must observe what these chemicals do, these neurotransmitters. They're so small. It would fit in the very tip of this pen. You could put a few thousand of them. But that's the way the body works. It's very mechanical that way. A little bit of these, the body manufactures them. When you call for them, you get these hormones that enter your blood. Just a few of them is all it takes. And then you feel, you know, afraid, or you feel angry, you feel excited. And it takes about 20 minutes for the average person for these chemicals to wash all the way through and break down.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's exactly how long it took this morning, about 20 minutes to get over it. Yep.
It will become, and that, you know, as you go along with your Course in Miracles, you become more vigilant, keyword, right? That 20 minutes will be shorter. And if for you, it probably already is for most circumstances, I know. But with the Course in Miracles, I've noticed in my life that 20 minutes would, actually 20 minutes was more like 2-3 days before I started Course, because I would get so upset about something. You know, we just keep creating more chemicals. So I'd go sleep thinking about it, and I'd wake up thinking about it. Well, there's 2 days. And then I would get reminded halfway through day two for there's 3 days. And that's what we Course in Miracles. And I recognize I'm doing this to me. You know, that person doesn't even know, or that situation isn't going to change. It's going to cost this much, or I did that mistake for sure. I can undo it. Whatever. It isn't going to change. And yet I'm still suffering 3 days now. So I woke up with Course in Miracles, and I discovered I'm actually doing this. I'm the one who's making myself suffer. The pain is the pain. The world does what it does. It comes and goes all the time. But I'm dragging on with this pain, the suffering now. I'm doing that. And then I discovered that it's the chemicals, you know, that I keep squirting into my blood. As I got into biotechnology, I learned all about it. And then the geek was up. After a while, I recognized that it's like a muscle. If you're accustomed to worrying or being angry, if you're good at it, your body is prepared to be good at it, to make you worry, allow you to worry for hours, to allow you to suffer, to get, allow you to be so angry you get red in the face. If you're good at it, your body is trained up like a muscle. So over time, with doing my lessons year after year, I would come into difficult situations and the Holy Spirit would be able to whisper in my ear, take a step back, Andrew. You know you'd rather be peaceful. God, I would rather be peaceful. And peace took over my life gradually. And now there's no longer a 20 minutes. There's no longer a 10 minute or two even. I'm not sure there's even full seconds. I still recognize when things, you know, are upsetting for me, didn't go my way or something like that. I recognize it mentally, but God, I'm so excited to report that it doesn't make my blood boil. Things will happen, even physical things, where I'll slip on a ladder and I can physically be really hurt. But I definitely deal with the situation and there's no big residual. It used to be a natural residual that would last for a minute or two of adrenaline and, oh my God, I almost hurt myself. Even those things have all, the muscle have shrunk for me to be afraid. And so even in situations like that, which, you know, it's just physical. It's nothing to do with what the psychological peace of mind we're talking about. But it does affect the way I live, even in situations like that. Yeah, good. Thanks for bringing that up. Good, good. Yeah, just choose peace.
You're welcome.
Yeah, choose peace. You'll get peace. You know that. But it's good to be reminded.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I always tell the story. I got to tell the story, though, talking about just going over the top. Years ago, I was dating this guy, and I was laying in bed. He lived down the west side, and I was in my place in Felton. And I was laying in bed at 2 o'clock. I got so pissed off, I actually got up, drove down to the west side, and burst into his bedroom at 2 a.m. in the morning. Oh, my God. Not one of my fire moments.
Yeah, not a good look, Isadora. You know, dating, that can be a little harmful relationship. You know what? I've been thinking about you. Yeah. I talked to a girl. I think it was a Course in Miracles student. You guys probably remember who it was. Remember she shared with the group? It was Cecily. She said she got so upset in a dream about her husband had done something or said something, and she woke up. She went to go address him about it. She just couldn't shake what he said in her dream. She said, "Boy, but thank God she caught herself. She said, what am I doing?" He didn't even say
that.
That's
right.
All the things we do to ourselves. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go dig into some of this. We'll kind of skip around a little bit. First, we'll start with lesson 23, actually, on page 34 in the workbook. So crack your book in half and get to where the numbers are small again, and then go to page 34 on the bottom. And so it says on the bottom of the page is 34. On the top of the page, it says lesson 23. But the bottom of the page says 34. Laura's probably thinking, yeah, duh. What are you guys being so redundant about the numbers for? Laura, people can't seem to get to the right page, I swear. And one day you'll be so embarrassed to say, what page? It'll happen. Okay. And then Judy, would you read for us the title and that first paragraph?
I would if I could find the page.
Okay. How can I help?
You said take it in half.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So that gets me at like lesson 19 is in half.
Excellent. Turn 4 pages to the right.
Okay.
Go to lesson 23.
Got it. Okay. See, for some reason I thought you said, okay, got it. Okay. And you wished me to read what?
Would you read the first paragraph? First read the title.
Sure.
Make it large. And then go for the first paragraph.
Okay. Lesson 23. I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. The idea for today contains the only way out of fear that will ever succeed. Nothing else will work. Everything else is meaningless. But this way cannot fail. Every thought you have makes up some segment of the world you see.
Okay, let's read that sentence again just for emphasis. It's a whole teaching in one sentence.
Exactly. Every thought you have makes up some segment of the world you see. It is with your thoughts, then, that we must work if your perception of the world is to be changed.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
This is like explaining to an alcoholic. You see, the reason why you lost your job, the reason why you woke up outside in the gutter in front of your own house is because you drink to the point of blacking out every night. It's like, what? What? Me? I don't know what happened. But once they realize that, as they go to open a bottle and say, tell me again what happened. Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm starting to get it. This is exactly the kind of thing we must do with A Course in Miracles and our ego. We don't even recognize that every thought we have pictures the world we see. It's all built from our thoughts and our quick little judgments we don't even know we have. We probably attack 100 times an hour and don't even recognize it. Didn't you know that light was too bright? Didn't you know that that stain was shouldn't even be there? Didn't you know that person in the Volvo is driving too slow? On and on and on. Yeah. So, super critical. And also, this is one of the places where the Course just puts it right in black and white. I mean, you can't miss the power of statement one. The idea for today contains the only way out of fear that will ever succeed, period. Thank you very much. This is true. In the same way that it's true that you will continue to be an alcoholic if you continue to drink every day to the point of blackout. It's that simple. That's how A Course in Miracles can be so certain that attack thoughts and your ability to have them so easily is actually keeping your fear alive. It's keeping your fear as something, keywords now, it's keeping your fear as something you trust. Your attack thoughts are proof that your fears are real. Do you see the circle? Do you see the poison that you're doing to yourself when you do something so innocent as to go try to fix it? The attack thoughts, right? Yeah. Now, there are ways to do things in this world without attack, like we were talking about with Miley earlier. These things we must adopt. And believe me, it's a better way to live. So, of course, you will. But you got to put the bottle down. You've got to stop going to the bar, for starters. If you say you're going to stop drinking or stop smoking, there are certain things you must do. We're in the same boat here with Egos Anonymous. There are things we quickly do with our ego that continue the force of the ego in our lives. And I'll tell you, attack thoughts, quick, subtle little attack thoughts is one of them. And Jesus has pointed it out for us in black and white so you can look at it and catch yourself doing it. This will begin to heal your mind.
That brings up something for me.
Yes.
If I have an attack thought and I've caught it, okay, I get the feeling that, okay, I've caught it, I'm not going to say anything, but I don't get the answer from, if I have the attack thought, can the Holy Spirit talk to me about it while I'm having it?
Well, yes. There's two stages that you go through. In the early days, it's all about catching the attack thought. It's not about solving the problem.
Okay.
And it can really be kind of ugly. Just like, you know, the addict who stopped taking the drug. The withdrawals are horrible because the drug is the only thing they know. And attack thoughts and judgment is the only thing you know. You think it's normal. It's a way to handle the world. How would you know who to vote for if you didn't attack enough to figure out who's right? So says the ego. So stage one is learning to undo. Learning to undo is stage one. Catching your habit of having the attack thoughts. And I'll remind you, one of my favorite sentences in the whole book. Keep your finger here. We're coming right back, okay? Flip to the first third of the book to page 338. I just love this Course in Miracles in one sentence. 338, paragraph 6.
Andrew, I need numbers of lessons. And
you got it. On a
Kindle.
Sure, sure. Yeah, chapter 16, section 4. Or if you want to, you can do a search on your Kindle. Your task is not. If you do that search, it'll pop right up. So we're going to text page 338, which is chapter 16, section 4, paragraph 6. The bottom of the page is 338 in the front of the book. Thanks, Julie. And then we're going to paragraph 6. And Luann, you want to read that for us?
Like you don't know, I've only been reading it about 5 times.
Well, it's highlighted in your book, too, I'm willing to guarantee.
You're right.
All right.
Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
That is a complete teaching. That is a complete discussion. So, first of all, the obvious stuff in the beginning of the paragraph. It's really good news, right? Oh my, you don't have to go get creative and manifest love in your life. Guess what? You don't have to be that good. You don't have to be poetic. You don't have to be beautiful. You don't have to go say the right things. You don't have to memorize. You don't have to wear the right clothing. You don't have to have the right friend. You don't have to do all of that stuff to make love happen. Thank God. Thank God. No, that's not what this book teaches, right? This book teaches that love is true. This book teaches that love is an essential truth. Truth means that it is. So you don't go find love. If it's true, it already is, and it's right here, right now. However, but you must remove the blocks that you actively make that hide love in your life and in people that you know and in situations every day, every hour. You must remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence now. This is your job. This is your part. This is what you do. Do you see how different that is from actively trying to make something good happen? Somehow you have to somehow come up with that superpower to make something ugly beautiful? Do you see how different this is from all the self-help books that tell you what to do, what to learn, what to say? Do you see how different this is? Instead, the truth is, love is. All you need to do is undo. To not do the ugly things the ego would have you do. Your worry will go away. Your depression will lift. Your anger will dissolve. It may take 20 minutes. Be aware of the chemicals that the body's just innocently doing what you told it to do. The body's neutral. It doesn't care if you're happy or sad because it doesn't think. Your brain is doing what your mind put into motion. And you're getting the results of that, and that is your life that you're living. Seek no further than your own mind. The world is not doing anything to you. In this first couple of sentences, I mean, I don't know. Your task is not to seek for love, folks. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But really seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you've built against it. It's not necessary to seek for what is true, but it's necessary to seek for what is false. Here we go. Every illusion is one of fear. And as we beautifully said in the beginning, as we said, all the motivations for attack, they're all based on a fear of some sort. Loss of power, loss of self, loss of safety, loss of value. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes. And the attempt to escape from one illusion to another must fail. In other words, for you to come up with a story to make the situation okay, as long as they're sinful and you're not, and there's some division and separation that's been proven, that their attack, the reason you feel bad, of course you feel bad because of what they did, or because of what the world did, or because of the sciatica, or because of the coronavirus. Of course you feel bad. Of course you're afraid. You are walking the road of the ego, and you're blocking love in this very moment. Do you see? Do you see your part? It's right here. And then, just to make the point clear, sentence 5, he says, look, if you seek love, well, outside yourself, if you go outside of yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within. That's because, you see, in your true nature, you are the source of love. Your very thoughts, if you're an extension of God and God is love, you're an extension of love. Hello? And when you remove the barriers, love flows through you naturally. You cannot stop it. And you know what I'm saying is true. Because there have been those times in your life when you decided to help somebody just because you didn't care what it cost you, you were going to make this right. And your heart filled so much, right? And you jumped in and said, hey, listen, let me help, right? That's when you stepped aside and you let your love come forward. You've all been there. It came from you. You did not get it from the outside world. All right. Anyway, is that a great, great paragraph? Okay, let's go back to our work on page 34 in the
work. My problem, however,
yeah.
And I get it, and then I lose it, and most of the time I've lost it.
Yes.
Most of the time. I can find my barrier. I can find out what my thoughts are that are keeping me separate from the other person.
Yes.
But I still don't know how to transform them from wanting her to change to not caring whether she changes or not.
You bet. Thank you, Luann. You know, God bless you for speaking for all of us. Thank you. What you say is everybody has this plight. And people, we each have it more or less depending on where we are in our journey. You voiced it. And what you're experiencing, if I could continue this analogy of somebody who is an addict. I've had it. I got it. And it worked out okay. I was pretty happy. I was able to negotiate. And then I lost it. And I seemed anger just grabbed me before I could even stop, or my judgment thoughts were surrounding me. And I started to drink again of judgment. I started to inject the drug into my arm that made me feel stronger, because I was starting to feel weak because of what they said. Their judgment made me feel small. I had to pump myself up by making them wrong. Oh, now I feel better. It's your drug user. Literally, you're literally using this drug I showed you earlier that won't even fit. It's thousands of them fit ahead of my pin. It's this itty bit that can change your days and make you lose sleep. That judgment follows that way. Now, that's an addict and it's a habit. The ego's a habit, Luann. you've been practicing it longer than me. So I get it. I practice it enough to know how fast and hard judgment comes up and how you get a little twinge of good feeling when you take your drug of judgment. It is only a habit, Luann. You have had the critical miracles. I'm here to tell you, and all of us here who know you know that you've been able to choose peace in situations when you would have otherwise fought or defended yourself or attacked. So you got it. The miracle's happened. The miracle has happened for you. But now the work begins, right? Not begins, but continues. The work is with the F word in A Course in Miracles. The F word.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
So let me, I've made a list of my thoughts. today, for about an hour, I sat there and said, okay, what thoughts are going through my head that I don't like, and went all the way back to high school and up. I have a friend who is a multimillionaire, and so she looks at me one day. She's one of my best friends, so I don't really want to judge her, and I really don't want to feel bad about what she says about me or whatever, but she has this belief that everybody can do what she does, regardless of how much it costs. So she looks at me and she says, Luann, you know, the way I take care of that fuzz that's on your face is to go to this person and they take it off. And I'm sitting there and thinking, okay, my fuzz grows very quickly and I can't afford to go have it shaved off by somebody else. So I thought about what I could do, and I thought, well, I can shave it off myself, for God's sake. But nevertheless, for her to assume that I can do something that she can do that costs money, yes, it's ridiculous.
Do you remember Isadora? You remember Isadora talked to us earlier? And please take a note on that. We can talk about that offline, because there's something else going on behind that that will probably be helpful for us to look at together.
Okay.
Remember when Isadora was talking? And she said, you know, I had a couple of people say nasty things to me, and at first I was okay. And then I had another one come up at 10 a.m. But you know what? I handled it in stride. But the one at 2 o'clock started to get me down. And by 4 o'clock, I had to just leave this person because I was getting so mad and so down by what they were saying.
Yeah, and the thing is, I remember a number of times when I was absolutely sure that I, she said, was thinking something about me because I wasn't spending enough money on looking glamorous or acting glamorous or whatever.
Yeah, so what you've done is you layered money in there to make the story make sense, right? How it's okay for her to say that, right? Is, however, you've completely skipped what we just read on page 338, paragraph 6.
My thoughts.
Yeah, your thoughts about this. You needed a miracle. You needed the Holy Spirit to come in and say, how is this loving? Which barriers am I putting up that are blocking my friend?
I agree that the Holy Spirit came up and said that. I can even figure out what block it is, but I don't know how to get rid of it, except like you're telling me, forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
But it's
I got you. If forgiveness is difficult, Julie, you want to take that one? What happens if you're really struggling with forgiveness? What needs to happen? You can say no.
I don't know where you want me to go. I have thoughts, but I'll let you do it.
Right. Oh no, that's totally fair. I absolutely right. Yeah. If forgiveness is difficult, it's because you need the miracle.
Okay.
You see, forgiving something that's true is impossible. In fact, to forgive something you think is actually justified and true is a lie, isn't it? To let something go that actually is true, like she's insulting you or she's ignoring you or, you know, she's completely insensitive to your situation. If you're believing that she's insensitive to you and somehow that hurts you, you cannot forgive it, can you?
No, you have to judge it. You got to correct it. You got to go show her your bank account and say, look how hard I spent money I spent on my kids last week. I don't have time to go get this operation you talked about. This would all be a story because you can't forgive. You can't. It would be a lie to forgive because you must have the shift in perception. Okay, good night, Jason. So this is you having the continued judgment is still getting hold of you, and you think it feels better or wiser to make a story. What must happen is you back away from the details and ask your Holy Spirit, show me the love here.
Well, I can see the love in it. She wants me to do something that she thinks will make me feel better about how I look or whatever. She's got some kind of a reason for doing it. But I get to, well, then how come she doesn't remember that she's in a different situation than I am, and that just remind me that I've got fuzz all over my face that she's noticing.
If she remembered what situation you're in, it would not make you happier. The ego says it would, and that's just a story.
Well, say that again.
If she remembered your situation and your blocks, it would not make you happier. It would not heal your relationship with her. The ego says if she would change, you would be happy. Those are attacks, Luann, straight up. You're attacking her.
I know. Julie, I don't feel good about it, so obviously.
I know. I'm glad you brought it up. Julie, what?
I want to acknowledge first that I've been in this place like so many times, so, and I still go there, like the anger episode I was just talking about. But what I am hearing is actually too much thinking. You're trying to think your way through this to forgiveness, and it just doesn't work that way. So
nice.
You got to get quiet. You got to just get really quiet. You got to stop your thoughts and just get quiet. You can invite the Holy Spirit. Like sometimes people would say that to me, and I'm like, I don't know what you mean. Like, but you know, however you want to do it, but there's just too much thinking. You can't actually think your way out of it. That's the problem.
Beautifully
so
said.
You're intellectually understanding how she loves you, and her expression is just a way of showing love, but that's intellectual. Like it's not that's not actually real love.
Beautiful. Thank you, Julie. Couldn't have said it better. Nice. All right. Okay, back to page 34. On the workbook, at the bottom it says 34, and the top it says lesson 23. In the very top it says workbook. And we just read that the idea for today contains the only way out of fear that will ever succeed. Yo! And then he hits the exact same nail again, and when he says, look, nothing else will work. And then he says, in case you think I'm fooling, everything else is meaningless. When he says things over and over and over, he knows that they're fighting words to your ego, and you probably aren't going to get it. He says, but if you were to somehow be able to give up your attack thoughts, and we know where he's going with this because we're Course in Miracles students, right? The somehow is going to be get the miracle on, get the Holy Spirit to have you give you a shift in perception about what you're thinking, and then do the forgiveness where you stop following the thoughts that make the suffering. You stop rehearsing the damages that you used to believe were real. I say used to believe real because now the miracle has occurred. And then third, you can enjoy the awareness moment, the holy instant, when the situation occurs to you and you don't feel a need to forgive it anymore because you're aware. Thank you, Julie. Yes, get off the train. Your mind has got a habitual way of getting thinking going. It's like climbing onto a train that's got a destination, and you're waiting around for the train to let you off. No. The habits of mind from your ego will continue like habits do until you learn to forgive them. That's release them. And then they get short, you know, they still pop up, but you don't follow them, so you're vigilant. And then they pop up for shorter duration, but you say, you know what, I'm trying to get over this. The Holy Spirit told me I could choose peace, and I love it when I do. And before you know it, you're laughing because you didn't need to be upset at all. And now you can hear the person with a new set of ears and start to join them. I mean, all of your life will change. But that's because you gave up attack thoughts. Do you see? That's because this way works. Giving up attack thoughts reverses this cycle. It reverses. You know what? What do you say, Julie? Is it time? Yeah, she says it's time. Page 494. What we're trying to do is not do what the ego does. Here's what we're talking about. Go, hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Go to page 494 in the text. So that's the first part of the book, and you're about a whole inch in or so. And, you know, this is Jesus at the end of a section saying, you know, regardless of all I've said, here's what we're really doing. He's just making you a plea for you to choose love instead. This is whole section is a plea. It's called The War Against Yourself. It's a chapter.
Is that back in text 16?
Oh, yeah. This is chapter 23, section 2, The Laws of Chaos.
Hi, Lee. Can you see the chat? I was posting the sections for you.
Oh, no. My phone is doing something really strange.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. But I can't seem to get back to where...
Okay, well, we'll talk you through it. You just go to chapter 23 and the Laws of Chaos, and then go to the last two paragraphs of that section. Go to section 3, actually, and it's on the left-facing page, paragraphs 21 and 22 we're going to look at. You're welcome.
Okay, chapter 23, then what? Sorry.
Go to section 3.
Okay. Yeah, I'm having to spin through this all.
Do you know how to do words?
Okay. Section 3. Okay. Salvation without compromise.
Yeah. And now go back to section 2, the last two paragraphs. Go back.
Okay. So starting with from the belief in sin.
Welcome. You've arrived.
Okay. Thank you.
And so the Course in Miracles is pleading with us and saying, look, this is really serious, and you've been around this ugly bend again and again and again. And I'm telling you how to undo the suffering that you've experienced your whole life when you suffer. Here's what happens. This is how important it is that we actually learn what we're talking about, how to undo the ego's tricks. Laura, would you read for us paragraph 21?
From the belief in sin, the faith in chaos must follow. It is because it follows that it seems to be a logical conclusion, a valid step in ordered thought.
Now, Laura's new. Hang on a minute, Laura. So you're new. So sin is one of those words that it's not the same that's in the dictionary. Whenever you see sin, you could put in the word separation in A Course in Miracles. It just means this mistake that has led to this whole world. Yeah. Please continue.
The steps to chaos do follow neatly from their starting point. Each is a different form in the progression of truth's reversal, leading still deeper into terror and away from truth. Think not one step is smaller than another, nor that return from one is easier. The whole descent from heaven lies in each one, and where your thinking starts, there must it end.
Where your thinking starts, there it must end. Oh, this is so sage. Where your thinking starts, there it must end. You see, it's because it's like getting on the train that says going north. And off you go. So, and I'm not a 12-stepper. I've been to a bunch of their meetings because I think it's such an amazing exercise of mind. So if somebody else is, you can weigh in if you can make more sense of this. But this reminds me of one of the sayings that I saw on – I have some friends in the program that had a mug and it had a bunch of 12-step sayings. And one of the sayings was, it's not the last drink that makes you drunk. It's the first one. If you didn't take the first drink, you never would have got to the last drink where you found yourself in a fight with your loved one or face down on the street or whatever else happened when you got drunk. Same with ego, folks. It isn't the last rotten, stinking attack phrase that you said to the person that you love. That's not what made them mad and walk out of the room on you. Right? That's not what did it. It's you began on a path of attack. And you slowly and carefully, even by saying nothing, continued to harbor attack thoughts that built up and built up, and finally you stood up with your hands on your hip and you let them have it, right? That's what actually happened. So with that in mind, Kathy, you want to read? Do you have a book? Kathy or Donna, you guys, one of you guys have a book? You want to read for us paragraph 22?
No, you do. Okay. Brother, take not one step in the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are, and they will follow. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet any instant it is possible to have all this undone. How can you know whether you chose the stair to heaven or the way to hell? Quite easily. How do you feel? Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way to go? You go? And are you sure the goal of heaven can be reached? If not, you walk alone. Ask then your friend to join with you and give you certainty of where you go.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. He's just pointing it out. It's that first step. And take not one step in the descent to hell, for having taken that first one, how innocent that you tried to protect yourself. How innocent you tried to make yourself known, and how unfairly you were treated by what they just said to you. How innocent, says the ego. Watch it. Watch it. Because having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are. They're attack thoughts, and they bring attack, and therefore the other person must start to feel like they need to defend themselves because you're attacking them. The love is gone, folks. It's left the room, and egos are going to battle it out. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet, any instant, it is possible to have all this undone. This is a miracle. This is forgiveness, right? Cease. Release. Release those thoughts. You know what it feels like to be in attack mode, in judgment mode, in defense mode. You know what that feels like. This is a time to step back and let peace come in. Let your Holy Spirit give your Holy Spirit time. Just a breath or two is all it really takes to counsel you in those moments. The way to know is how you feel, just like we just said, is peace in your awareness. Go back to peace. It's a wonderful, wonderful paragraph. We come to it many times. We'll be back again. But notice how attack is so essential in the text. Also, now we're treating it in the workbook with lesson 23. So back now to workbook page 34, lesson 23. Yeah, I think we have just enough time, we can pull a few more of these sage words where basically Jesus is just pointing out what to him is painfully obvious. But it's not painfully obvious to us the first time through, for sure, how much we are participating in our own suffering. He says, look, you know what? If you get this one idea, he says, if you can actually understand how this pulls you down the staircase to hell in your life, you will not want to go to attack thoughts. You won't want to. They may show up, but you see, this is what a miracle is, isn't it? A miracle is a shift in perception to show you that what you thought was strong is weak. Wouldn't that be a miracle? To reverse that raising your voice, being counter-insulting, defending yourself enough to make them sorry. Eh, that's a good one. That'll fix it. Those kind of thoughts, they lead you down into darkness. They make people feel unwelcome around you. These are attack thoughts that you do not want. These are blocks to awareness of love in that very situation. When you're busy attacking, you are not loving. You can't hear the love. You can't offer the love. You can't offer the understanding that love would. You can't offer the honesty that love would. You can't offer the trust that speaks volumes in a difficult situation that love would. You can't be gentle. You're ready to attack. You see how opposite it is to everything you really want, to everything that would heal the situation. When you're busy attacking, you can't be patient, can you, when you're busy attacking? And isn't your mind closed to any other way than what you're thinking when you're busy attacking? It's the opposite of love. Very, very important. It's what we're talking about. It's why it's so critical. I mean, what a gift, this lesson. What a gift, all the lessons, you know. But oh my God, this is generous. Yeah, but wait, there's more. Deborah, would you read for us? Did we finish paragraph 2? Do we even read paragraph 2? Nope. Deborah, would you read for us paragraph 2?
If the cause of the world you see is attack thoughts, you must learn that it is these thoughts which you do not want. There is no point in lamenting the world. There is no point in trying to change the world. It is incapable of change because it is merely an effect. But there is indeed a point in changing your thoughts about the world. Here you are changing the cause, the effect will change automatically.
Like that. Do you know that what he just did right there is the one of the laws of mind, you know, the law of love, the law of mind, the law of spirit, was spoken right there in those last few sentences. It's so consistent, this book. He says, there's indeed a point in changing your thoughts about the world. Here, you're changing the cause. The effect will change automatically because the cause changed. Putting all the responsibility in your thoughts, which is always where it's been, but you've lost sight of that, being the good victim when the ego's driving. Well, I'm tempted to wander around the course and show you where it says that four or five other times, but let's just stick to our knitting here. And Luann, would you read for us paragraph 3? Explains a little bit of what we're going through. And you're muted. You'll have to unmute yourself. I can see your mouth moving, but I can't hear you, Luann, because you're muted. You're still muted.
There you go. I have spent so much time talking, I thought you were going to skip me. So what lesson 123?
Lesson 23.
23.
On page 34.
Okay. I'm almost there. Okay. Paragraph 3.
Yes.
The world you see is a vengeful world, and everything in it is a symbol of vengeance. Each of your perceptions...
What does the course mean by vengeful? What does vengeful mean? Everybody, it's a strange word that we don't use every day.
It's coming at you all the time to get to you.
What's that?
It's coming at you all the time to make you feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah, vengeance is really punishment.
Mm-hmm.
That the world is coming at you to make you suffer, to make you struggle, to make you pay, to make you wait, to make you hurry. The world is constantly asking you to do something just a little different than what you would really want to do. Except for those few moments when you're writing music. Right? Or you have all the ingredients, you're making your cake or whatever, and everything's happening just right. And you know what? You remember to preheat the oven this time. This is great. That's not the most of the time the world will be exacting a price from you in one way or the other. That this is kind of an average, okay? So please start over.
The world you see is a vengeful world, and everything in it is a symbol of vengeance. Each of your perceptions of external reality is a pictorial representation of your own attack thoughts. One can well ask if this can be called seeing. Is not fantasy a better word for such a process, and hallucination a more appropriate term for the result?
Ooh, he's starting to get personal.
He's laying it on the line.
Yeah, he is. You hallucinator, fantasizing hallucinator. Yeah. But by now, you're 700 pages into the book, and you're starting to think, I'm listening. I'm going to listen to what is said, because he knows me better than I know me. Julie, paragraph 4.
You see the world that you have made, but you do not see yourself as the image maker.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be saved from the world, but you can escape from its cause. Mm-hmm. This is what salvation means, for where is the world you see when its cause is gone? Vision already holds a replacement for everything you think you see now. Loveliness can light your images and so transform them that you will love them, even though they were made of hate. For you will not be making them alone.
Wow, did you guys see what she just read?
Beautiful.
All the trouble that we've been reading up to this point, all the difficult situations that I've been talking about, and it says right here, it starts out with some pretty harsh words in sentence 2 that Julie just read. It says, you cannot be saved from the world. Ooh, that's kind of dark. But, record scratch, quick, recovery. The truth is now about to be spoken. You can escape from the world's cause. This is starting to sound promising. This is what salvation means. There you go. There's a big fat word, salvation. Lots of syllables. Got some baggage from my catechism. And here it is redefined. This is what salvation means. What does salvation mean? Salvation is that you can escape from the cause of your suffering. You can escape from the prison cell, the world, that you have made. That's so seeming real, so certain that the world is real, and that you're going to live another 20,000 or so more days and then you'll die. So sure you are of that, that's your whole existence. Causes a kind of suffering, a pall over your whole existence. That you thought you were a body and you were eventually going to die and you'll do some suffering and some laughing in between, but you're going to die and that'll be it. This has been a constant thing you've never challenged. just throwing out one of the examples. That you cannot be saved from. Because the world, indeed, is a vengeful world the way that you've made it. The way that the ego's made it. On purpose, ends very successfully. That was actually not a mistake. But we'll talk about that another day. So it's working. It's time to reverse that. You're drowning. You're drinking too much. It's time to put the bottle down for a while. Come out of the bar. That's what we're doing with Course in Miracles, coming out of the ego. This is what salvation means. For you to actually have a miracle enough to understand the cause of what you're doing, what you're experiencing. Really good. And then where is the world you see, right? Small Y-O-U. The world you see, the world your ego sees, the world your body-mind sees, not your spirit-mind, right? Your body-mind, the one you're so accustomed to, the habitual world you know so well, the fragile you, the one that needs protecting, that. Where is that when its cause is gone? We'll eventually be discussing cause and effect for about 2 months in a row, straight, every meeting. But it's not tonight. But it's one of the vectors of understanding, essentially, what A Course in Miracles is teaching about this world and your recovery. Vision, another word that's not in the dictionary, the way the Course uses it. Vision already holds a replacement for everything you think you see now. Oh, thank goodness. You know what? I'm starting to get optimistic now. This paragraph is totally turning around. I'm starting to feel good. Because vision, which you've touched it already this far in the workbook lessons even, holds a replacement for everything that you see now. Loveliness can light your images. Loveliness can light your images. And by so doing, transform them. How much can you transform the ugly thoughts that I've had or the horrible things that have happened to me or the worries that I have about this or that? Well, so much can your awakening bring light into your dream. So much that you will love these images even though that sickness, that politician, that ex-husband or wife, that boss who fired you without even, you know, just for money reasons, it was so unfair, all of that. These things, these ancient hatreds that you've developed and thought that they were really irreversible. With salvation that Course in Miracles brings to your mind, the understanding that comes with this book, you will love even those ugly situations, though they were made of hate. Folks, it's in black and white. It's exactly what the book says, and it's exactly what it delivers. But you better believe it will take some honesty from you to have miracles around the things that you hate. It will take some honesty from you to have the miracles come around the things that you personally hate and you love to hate. You love it. It's working for you. Well, it's not working for you the way that you thought. It's actually costing you love. So it's a good thing to drop. It's a good thing to become aware of. In fact, check out the title of this lesson. I can escape from the world I see, the world my ego sees, by giving up attack thoughts. This is a huge, huge lesson. It's a metaphysical lesson of A Course in Miracles. And it's right in your face. And then there's some metaphysics also in this paragraph. He goes up a level. He's about, in the end of this paragraph, he bumps up a level that's really unnecessary for you in A Course in Miracles to make your life wonderful and free with good quality sleep. This next sentence is not necessary, but it's there. If you want to take the next step and actually start working on your heaven, get your heaven game on, keep reading. He says, first of all, loveliness can light your images and so transform your images of the world that you will love them even though they were made of hate. Wow, wouldn't that be great? Last sentence. For you will not be making these images alone. You see, your ability to believe that you are alone is the deepest drug you take. Your ability, you think that you know a truth about yourself, somehow, some way, that you're alone, that you're a lost sheep and the rest of the flock is somewhere else happily being cared for. Somehow you think you're not with the others. This is what separation is. It really does call for a miracle, a shift in perception, and then some forgiveness. But that's what salvation is to bring you back to your very cause and let go of this cause of separation. The truth is that you, who you actually are, cannot be alone. It's impossible what you really are. This is a dream of aloneness. It's a dream of separation. And as long as you're enjoying it, you'll stay asleep dreaming it. But that's what we're here to do, to wake up from this particular nightmare. That's what we're here to do. Okay. Wow. Well, okay. Well, we've kind of covered that next paragraph really already. Let's dip our toes into, it's a few pages in advance. I think it's page 40. Turn to lesson 26, just a few pages to the right. It's so great because if you're like me and lesson 23 was like one of the greatest gifts you've ever had psychologically, taking responsibility for why your life gets ugly from time to time. If you're like me and you thought, this is all I need. All I need is to get this. And then discover all the little ways that I'm judging and attacking things and separating myself from them. Boy, if I could just get that, the whole world would disappear and change. You know, I was very excited about that. There's so many of these other lessons, right? But I was like, this is amazing counseling. Amazing counseling. Especially when you do the lesson all day long and, you know, every 5 minutes, you find out which attack thoughts in your mind now and you discover the subtlety of how the ego is maintaining the illusion. You're like, boy, I can't get over this. But then, you know, the next day comes, it's time to do the next lesson. You're like, oh, just one more day on 23. Yeah. But then lesson 26 comes up. Back to your attack thoughts. Yeah, let's just indulge ourselves a little bit of that. Miley, can you read that for us? Lesson 26, paragraph 1.
Sure. My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability.
Well said.
It is surely obvious that if you can be attacked, you are not invulnerable.
Hope you're listening, Isadora.
You see attack as a real threat. That is because you believe that you can really attack.
And you know, the word you should be underlined right there, just so next time you read it, you punch it.
Okay, that is because you believe that you can really attack.
That a girl.
And what would have effects through you must also have effects on you.
Do you see the circle? Do you see that as you give, you receive? The law of mind, the law of love, the law of spirit is once again spoken. Please continue.
It is this law that will ultimately save you, but you are misusing it now. You must therefore learn how it can be used for your own best interests rather than against them.
Yes. Thank you. Isadora, you want to read for us paragraph 2?
Sure. Because your attack thoughts will be projected, you will fear attack. And if you fear attack, you must believe that you are not invulnerable.
Okay, I got to stop you there. Hold on, I got to stop you there. So we get the intent of that, those first two sentences. This is really critical. Because your attack thoughts will be projected. Ergo sum, right? Logically, if you're attacking, you're attacking something out there, right? You don't attack something that's connected to you. You would get hurt. See, you don't get it, right? You believe cause and effect are separate. You believe there's some separation is real. And when you attack, you're attacking something out there. That's projection. That's projection that what you're attacking is indeed separate from you. So because your attack thoughts will be projected, you will fear attack. This is what the Course calls a two-edged sword. You go to cut somebody, but in order to cut them and cut them good, you got to raise the sword up. But if it hits you in the head, you're right, cuts both ways. He's just making the logical conclusion of the power that you already believe in attack. And if you fear attack, you must believe that you're not invulnerable. Okay, please continue.
Attack thoughts therefore make you vulnerable in your own mind, which is where the attack thoughts are. Attack thoughts and invulnerability cannot be accepted together. They contradict each other.
You recognize that word, invulnerability? This would sort of, this would sort of be the opposite of, victim. This would be the goal of A Course in Miracles. It's you to recognize that you can't be harmed by a dream. You're that safe. The Course, from the very beginning, the first few words in this book, he says, nothing real can be threatened. And, well, do I have to say it? Nothing unreal exists? I guess I do, because you guys really believe in something unreal. Bodies, time, space. I'll write a whole book to help you understand what I just said, which is nothing real can be threatened. I'll write a whole book. And I'll put a workbook on there too for you. And he did. But really, it's just nothing real can be threatened. What are you worried about? Wake up. Really? I mean, that's it. Okay, let's get...
I just want to say one thing. A lot of times if I'm having attack thoughts in my head, I'm making somebody wrong about something and how they should do something different to make me happy. When I'm making the thought in my head, often I hear the words, so what? And I love that. Nice. So what?
Nice. Get over it. Yeah. Let it go. So what? Yep. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. Okay, let's see who's up. Donna, would you read for us paragraph 3?
Okay. The idea for today introduces the thought that you always attack yourself first. If attack thoughts must entail the belief that you are vulnerable, their effect is to weaken you in your own eyes. Thus, they have attacked your perception of yourself. And because you believe in them, you can no longer believe in yourself. A false image of yourself has come to take the place of what you are.
That's it. Beautiful.
That's what Isadora was saying earlier.
Yeah. Course is very consistent. It's so generous that it repeats these most critical messages over and over again, so you really get them. So, great. Thank you, thank you. Thanks for studying this with me and for correcting our mind by working this over. There's more peace in the world today, and there's more peace in your dreams tonight, I hope, because we'll just start letting go of attack thoughts from now on for the rest of your life. Thank you, everybody. See you next
time. Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome. Good to see you. Good night.
We love you, Andrew.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody. Nice to meet you, Kathy. Good night.
Thank you.